So the agenda is actually kind of small today. I'm going to go over a quick status of the various working group documents. And then is it James or John? John will be coming up to talk about the location conveyance revision. And then Christian's going to do a, I think, relatively short discussion on where we live with event throttling right now. And then we have 75 minutes for whatever. So in terms of the work items, 4424 BIS, the last I spoke to Mary, she thinks this is pretty much done, ready for working group last call, so that will probably be one of the WGLCs we do between now and Beijing. The 199, yeah, that is in IESG evaluation. There's some comments that need to be addressed there. Location conveyance, we're talking about that today. Are we? Three is the new one? Okay. Thank you. Into events is also in the IESG, the re-invite stuff. Actually, I think Gonzalo was going to give a real quick discussion about what was going on there. Yeah. Just at the microphone for a couple seconds.
The re-invite, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so the re-invite, it went into AD review. We got some comments from Robert. And then we discussed a few other issues on the list. So basically there was the blackout period, and I couldn't basically submit a new version. But now everything is basically settled. Everybody agrees on the changes. It's been hugely simplified, mainly the glare avoidance rules. So I'm going to be submitting a version today, and it's ready to go. So Robert will pick it up.
Okay, great. So that's about to go into IETF last call then, is what I'm hearing. Okay, great.
Is this
re-invite the second to last?
Okay, I had a comment about the first. Sorry, that's where I got lost.
Okay, the invite pick stuff is in the editor's queue. Yay! And even better than that, the subnaut e-tags has been assigned an RFC number. We finally published something out of SIP Core. Yay! Go ahead and pop my balloon, Keith. The SEC flows work. It's still under development. The person we have working on this, we had it to the point where it was pretty much done, and then the SIP certs stuff basically changed from using SHA-1 to SHA-256, which means that it's a lot more likely when we actually have the certificates used in the wild that you're going to have SHA-256 instead of SHA-1. So the author plans on revising the document with the SHA-256 certs, but the generation of the actual security documents is a fairly involved task. So he'll get to it when he has time, and he's relatively busy.
Colin Jennings is an individual. I actually don't think that. I mean, the thing that motivated the change for SHA-256 was to make sure we knew how to do it if SHA-1 failed, which it is not yet, and we needed to move there quickly. So, I don't actually think SHA-256 is going to be widely used. It was more defined to make sure we'd had it there in case we needed it. Right? SHA-1 still meets everybody's needs today. So I'd actually prefer to see this document go out the door without 256, and if the author wishes to, you know, promptly make another document that has the 256 examples on it, I'd be glad to see those 5 years from now when they're done. But let's get this one done instead of just leaving it to break. I mean, the flows that are in it are fine. Let's get them out the door, and we can still go make 256 flows if we want.
Okay, I probably need to grab you offline, but my reading of the document, and you're the author, so I assume you're a little more familiar with it than I am, was that basically, for the 4474 stuff, it was SHA-1, and you can do 256. But for the actual certs, the PKCS-8 stuff, it was 256 only.
This is a SEC question. I don't know the answer, but I mean, we can go. We can find out. I don't know, but my understanding was when Russ put a this all happened. Russ put a discuss on it, which was a very valid discuss, I thought, which was like, hey, look. When you guys wrote this, we didn't have this, but we do have it now, and we're trying to encourage people to make sure it's 256 is available as an option because SHA-1 is deteriorating much faster than anyone thought it would. So please make sure that this is an option for us.
Okay.
But we can go clear that up with the SEC IDs.
All right. I need to get offline and make sure that we understand what the text says together. Actually, you know what? I have better slides for going through the status of these things. Right. The 4424 BIS. Right. We already hit that. This is probably going to go into working group last call after the keep alive document is done being last called. Location conveyance. Yeah, we just went through that. Reinvite. Got that. Security flows. Okay. So keep alives. Right now, this is in a working group last call that is slated to end on Friday. We have had, if I recall correctly, 3 people commented on it so far, which is not bad, but I think we probably need a bit more participation. I know that this has been of interest, at least in the past, so I very strongly encourage everyone in here to at least give it a once over. It's a relatively short document, and you know, come in, give comments. Even if the comment is, it looks good to me, I think it's ready to go, or there needs to be a comma on page 7, or anything about the document that indicates that you've read, reviewed it, and have a opinion about whether it needs more work or should be sent to the IESG. 3265 BIS, this is in my court. I have been tied up doing a lot of work in Martini recently, and all of my document editing cycles have been going to that. You know, I have to give Bernard some mad props for staying on me and just driving me to do that, but it's made this suffer a bit. So hopefully, as soon as we put the Martini stuff to bed, I'll be able to put some cycles into this. And as far as I know, the only open issues, we basically had stuff on the list before Anaheim. I put a call out in Anaheim for if anyone doesn't like the solutions proposed on the list, please comment. There haven't been comments, so I'm assuming I make the changes that I proposed in the past, and then it's pretty much ready for last call as well. Event rates control. So this is what's going on here? Oh yeah, this is in front of the IESG. Actually, we've resolved the issue about whether this is an update. It almost certainly has to be, but there's some clarification that needs to go in. And then the present scaling requirements. This has been in front of the IESG for a while. It's pending resolution some issues with the actual analysis document. And I think there will probably be some actions on this in the next few weeks. We're going to go ahead and keep our eyes open. And that's it for all of our items. So, John. Colin?
I had one question. This is going back to the call flows, the 4244 BIS.
Yeah. What?
No, not call flows. The other one. The other call flows.
4244 BIS.
The history call flows, now that Mary's in the room.
Right.
Excellent. No, that's fine. This is all good. It's been a fast meeting.
It's a mighty fine question.
So this document defines this whole basically normative behavior of how to build sub-addresses and have a whole sub-addressing scheme. So you can have one SIP at AOR for a family and then different members of the family defined in it. I think if we're going to do that, we probably need that in a normative document to explain how to do it. Like the whole section 3.7 looks like it would have some really interesting properties in how it maps with the tel-URI. And it just seemed like something we should do as a document by itself if we're going to define a sub-addressing service. A simple solution would be remove it or transfer it out or something.
Right, that's fine. That's fine. I would agree if we want to go ahead and separate that out, we could.
Doesn't appear to be a presenter mic.
Well,
maybe
they thought this room.
Well.